Are you ready to dream on? Do you know how to fly high and soar among the clouds? Get ready to live adventurously, because the Laura Meeks Show starts now. Listen as Laura lifts you off the ground while teaching you how to fly high. Forget ground-level drama and be prepared to confront your dreams head-on as she encourages you to navigate towards your North Star and into what just might be the best life you've imagined. Dream on. Live adventurously on the Laura Meeks Show.
Hey, good morning, everybody. It's noon here on the West Coast. It is probably, 3 o'clock on the East Coast. I am Laura Meeks. This is the Laura Meeks Show. You found the right place at the right time. Most of my work deals with either flying or transformation, and I like flying as an allegory to transformation. So that's a lot of where my verbal stuff comes from. But the truth is, you don't need to be a pilot, or you don't need to have made a transformation. I have made a gender transformation, which I'll explain a little bit, but you don't have to have either of those to be involved in transformation of any kind. My major purpose in life is to help people bring their gifts to the world. I really do believe that each one of you guys has a gift inside you, and that you need to bring that out to the world. And I have found different ways to do that. And I have met a lot of interesting people, and we have a really interesting person to join us today on the Laura Meeks Show. Tracy Clark is coming in from, now, Tracy, I looked up the town that you're in, Mississauga?
No, I just say Toronto.
Well, that's, I know.
Toronto. It's just, it is Toronto. I'm literally it's all one big city.
Yeah. Did you ever memorize though, MISSISIPPI?
So I looked at that
and I thought MISSISANGA.
Yeah.
It's still got all the pieces of it.
They say in Mississauga, but you know what? It's really Toronto. It's just a big space. It's just all, we have worse traffic than LA. So you know what? It's
welcome aboard.
One city. Yeah, I know. You understand.
Well, and I'll let Tracy say some stuff about where she is, but Tracy has had some health challenges that she started out, transformation through health. As many of you know, that if you've been on my show, I have done a lot of things. I was an Air Force pilot for a long, long time, a businesswoman with my wife, very successful consulting company. But in the midst of all of that, I was blessed with a gender transformation. And it has been a wonderful, wonderful journey. I gave a great presentation over at UC Santa Barbara, San Bernardino yesterday. And it was to older people. It was a program for older people to be exposed to new ideas through the university. And a really excited crowd about trying to understand what transformation is all about. And so I blessed them with my little stories of things that I've done. But part of what I want to aim at, and Tracy, maybe you can kind of fill us in a little bit. You do a lot of energy work, and you are known as the body whisperer. Tell me about that.
Yeah. You know, it's funny. Everybody calls me different things, and that one kept sticking. You know, it just kind of sticks, right?
Yeah,
it's like what you said, you know, we're all transforming our lives in different ways. And I love what you said at the top, because it's so true that everyone has a gift. We got to find out what our gift is. And that's not something we're taught in school. We're not taught what is your inner gift, what is your, you know, this power you have inside you to really help other souls. Where unfortunately that got missed in the education system. And so like you said, I was born really, really sick. That's how I came into the world. And I didn't know any different other than illness, sickness, trauma, abuse. Like I didn't know any different. So I thought that was reality. And then it was interesting because when I look back as someone who was born so ill and then having other things like croup and asthma and ulcers and diverticulitis at such a young age, right? A very little child. And living, this is just some.
80% of all the list.
I said it was my claim to fame, ulcers at 5. You know, you can imagine the stress levels, ulcers, diverticulitis, irritable bowel, on top of asthma, croup, allergies. But I just basically say he's allergic to life. And so with all of this, I didn't realize, because when I was an early teen, I got so tired of all the medicine for the asthma component. And I remember I just screamed at my body and I'm like, I'm not taking this anymore. I'm done. Like, I feel like crap. I was so angry about it. And it went away. And I didn't know what I was doing back then. I was just so angry that every time I took this medicine, because I've been taking it since I was so small, my body would shake. Like, it would shake and it didn't feel good. And I'm like, I'm done. It was only years later, you know, when I started on this path and understanding, you know, I always say science, spirituality, and ministry, and getting rid of the divides of them all, but understanding that, wait a minute, my body's listening to me. And then I started to find science behind it. Well, now I'm like, I just know what the body's doing. But yeah. I started to realize the body listens to all we say, you know, all those things we say to ourselves or other people say to us, the body hears it. And as I started to sort of realize that, my body, actually, as I started to talk differently and then learn the energy of the body and how it is, like, we're all energy, everything I had went away. I had 5 nerves tell me my system, the way my nerve was so damaged, live with it, be in pain, you're never going to get rid of it. I shook like a leaf from the time I was born. My mom took me to all sorts of doctors, nothing. And so I started out more in it. So obviously from my journey, like, say transform, it was my health first, because I was ready to die again, right? I've had these near-death experiences and I was ready to go one more time. And I had 2 little kids in tow. I'm like, what am I gonna do? Leave them? I'm their sole provider. I care for them financially. That was my wake-up moment. So I started health, but now it kind of goes into...
Let me interject a thing here. One of the things that, I love when you're engaged in the story and talking about what happened, there's a couple things I want to go down the road. Paradigms is kind of part of that. But one of the things that you'd said, which I very often we, you know, as we grow up, we have an honor and a respect for certain kinds of people. And in particular, in your particular case, you had health issues. And so you were in front of what we would normally call MDs, medical doctors, or, you know, whatever. But a mentor of mine went through a very similar, went through a life or death health challenge. And she realized that these guys were being perceived as MDs, minor deities. That people, you know, when the doctor says, this is what you have and this is how long you live.
Yeah.
We go, okay, that's, I was just told what's going to happen to me. I'm going to die in 6 months. And guess what? They do. In fact, I don't know if you've seen this book.
Yes.
One of my absolute favorite books. I read that years ago, and it's been so important to me, because here's a guy who literally was like, he was a cancer doctor, oncologist, and he would talk to people and say, oh, you know, you've got this kind of cancer and you got 6 months to live. And bam, they would die at 6 months until finally he says to himself, wait a sec, I wonder if that's true, because there was like 10% that weren't following his instructions. It was like, don't you know who I am? I'm a minor deity. If I say you got cancer, you got cancer. And these guys were like, okay, no, I don't believe it. I love you that you have all this scientific information, but I don't believe it. And they got better. Yeah. And so in your case, it sounds to me like you got to that spot as well, where you're just kind of like, you know, doctors, I love all the stuff you're doing, but I got to do something different.
Something else, right? And what I've noticed with that and with all the people that I've worked with is that I always say word curses, but people take it as authority. Information as an authority. So that's truth. So they say that's truth. That's it. And the body takes it in as truth. And then you die in 6 months. So what we take in, what we hear can become truth. And when it's an authoritative figure, a doctor, a lawyer, a parent, a grandparent, we take it as more truth.
Well, we've got a couple of minutes before the break. I want to squeeze in truth, because you went down that road. When I was in the Air Force, I had come to an epiphany as a young major working in the senior staff, when I had a boss you know, I think we all think that there's one truth. There's like the one real truth. And then all these people are trying to describe, it's like there's one elephant in the room and we're all trying to describe that one elephant. And I came to the realization that that's not true. Truth, I had this printed on my military business cards. Truth is what you believe. And I realized this because I was in a situation where I was trying to explain to my boss that stuff was happening. We were in a top secret arena and we weren't supposed to be printing secrets into these normal printers because apparently you could read these outside the building. Yeah. But it was so easy to use the good printer and so hard to use the secret printer that people were just printing secrets. So I went to my boss and I said, well, you know, this is happening. This is the truth. Those guys over there are printing to the wrong printer. He goes, no, they're not. And I, Lou, are you printing to that printer? Yes. As I looked at him and he goes, get out of my office. That's not happening. And I thought, oh my God, this guy has crafted a truth that he believed. He didn't want to know that. He didn't believe it. And he just stopped it. So then I realized that, yeah, truth really is a belief.
It is a personal belief.
And I think that that will lead us to a lot more interesting conversations in just a minute, because we're going to take a quick break here. When we come back, I want to follow down a little bit more of paradigms, because you, one of the things that you had mentioned, and I love talking about this, because we all start out with all this information from our parents. But I want you to think about this while I take a break. When are you responsible? When do you become responsible to take your own path? That's, ponder that, audience out there. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, Tracy Clark will be with us again, where she's here for the whole hour, and we will continue our discussion. This is Laura Meeks on Transformation Talk Radio. Stick with us.
Tune in to The Astral Insider, your portal for adventure, insight, and growth with Fernando Albert. And get ready to tour the astral realm, expand your life in ways you've never imagined, and call in for the journey of your life with this world-renowned lucid dreamer, astral projectionist, psychic medium, and healer, Fernando Albert. This is every second and fourth Monday at 9 a.m. Pacific on TransformationTalkRadio.com.
If you have a sense that you are meant for more, join Heather Allison every third Tuesday at noon Pacific as she explores an ancient, forgotten energy within us and helps us access our original archetypal blueprint. The Golden Path will help you remember the key to unlocking your life, love, success, and magic you were meant for. A key to unlocking your Golden Path. Visit heather-allison.com.
Learn and explore fascinating and practical uses of essential oils, how to use them, and how they can enhance your everyday life. The Oil Lounge was founded by three remarkable women with fascinating stories about how essential oils changed their lives. Tina and Laura from The Karmic Path have joined forces to educate the masses in the benefits of Young Living essential oils. For more information, visit theoillounge.com.
Are you ready to finally feel empowered and knowledgeable in your political stance? Let Marsha Padilla Goad educate you on exactly how important grassroots advocacy is in a relatable way to all parties and all perspectives. Tune in to Grassroots Advocacy Radio with Marsha every first Tuesday of the month at 12 p.m. Pacific and 3 p.m. Eastern on TransformationTalkRadio.com. For more, visit DynamicsInPublicAffairs.com.
Choose the new earth on the Cornelia Stephanie Show. Tune in each week on Transformation Talk Radio as Cornelia takes listeners on an odyssey of higher consciousness to inspire, educate, and empower. Cornelia guides people on the path of self-healing, peace, and liberation. The Cornelia Stephanie Show is your catalyst for anchoring heaven on earth on a global scale. For more information, go to CorneliaStephanie.com.
People often ask, what does it mean to thrive? On Thrive by Jen Radio, it means body confidence, mind fulfillment, and soul synchronicity. Create synchronicity with God and learn as Jen shares action steps and real stories that will inspire you to be unstoppable in fulfilling your purpose. Tune in live each Monday at 8 a.m. Pacific on TransformationTalkRadio.com and visit JenniferZellup.com to thrive with Jen.
Hey, this is Laura Meeks. You're back on Transformation Talk Radio. We are talking today. I didn't even mention this, but the title of today is Hitting the Wall. Very often in life, as you're driving along and you see an obstacle, that obstacle can appear to you like an impenetrable wall. Tracy has had health issues. I had gender issues. There are lots of things that can be obstacles to you in front of you. And often you think that, well, I'll just stand back here and just live life because I can't get past the wall, when in reality, there's nothing to keep you from going through that wall. And so part of what we want to talk about is tools and techniques that we can get through. But our last discussion, and I want to go back to this. Tracy, you and I were talking about paradigms. And mm-hmm. one of the things that as I was coming up and I have other questions about how we got into this personal development. But one of the things that I found is that as I was being exposed to more and more of this work, that I realized how when we grow up, I mean, you come down to this planet as this little blob, and then you have these parents that are you know, whoever's influencing you, parents, grandparents, whatever, teachers, you're going to school, and they are like gods up here. Those are the other minor deities. They're gods up here, and you're absorbing all of this information. And I think that's all really good. But one of the things I find interesting about that kind of education is typically we as parents can only teach our kids what we know now. And what most of what we knew now is from what our parents told us, and their parents told us, and their parents told us. Yeah. So what's happening is that you're getting kind of a static view of the world presented to you. And most, you put a number on this. I think most people just accept whatever that education was, whatever your religion was, whatever your social upbringing was, and you take that at 18, and then you just live the rest of your life kind of in that bubble. And one of the things that I learned is that I think, my personal opinion, that amount of information was to get you started. And I think there's a time somewhere in your life where you have to say that, thanks, Mom and Dad, but I'm going this way.
Yeah, but you're absolutely right, because literally energetically, energetically, the energetic age to really take ownership is like 13, but you know, let's push it to 18. It is. It's actually quite young. At 13, that's that place of really, you know, deciding where you want to go and pass. And what you talk about is absolutely, it's imprinting, it's conditioning. Right. And when we have these realizations and awakenings, it's hard for people to not say, okay, I'm just going to go to school, get a job, stay in these belief systems, and pay my taxes and die, because that's a lot of the programming. Yeah, that's life, right? That's the North American dream. Come on, you know, go get it. And so that imprinting comes in, and because people aren't conditioned to listen to their body, their surroundings, say like, how do I feel about this? Truthfully, I always say everything, I've been writing my book, I said everything you've been taught is a lie. Right. When you're young, because it really is, because things are shifting, things are changing. And so many people, when they're in that paradigm, they're holding on to the old and they're not allowing change. They're not allowing transformation. But the biggest thing I notice with myself even going through, and you probably notice this, people are afraid of that change as well and coming out of that paradigm to make a better life because it's scary. They don't know what's on the other side, or they can't really tune into it. So rather than saying the brain and the mind keeps us safe, that's its job. And so it'll keep you in that same screwed up pattern over and over, because if you're in poverty, you know how to go to the food bank. You know how to survive in that. You know what to do if you need something. If you're in health issues, you know that same pattern of going to the doctor. So it's like bad habits that you got to get rid of, which is scary for people because, as you know, and I know, it isn't all joyous and lovely going through it and breaking them down. There are painful parts. There are parts you got to look at. And unfortunately, a lot of people look in the spiritual realm or the energy realm. They go, oh, it should all be roses. And I'm like, oh, no. You're going to go through some pain because you got to tear down that old house and build a new foundation and a new house. And to do that is a whole new awareness. And you're correct. It comes from looking at all those teachings and saying, which ones actually do work for me? Which ones make me happy and joyous? And which ones, you know, make me not bad anymore? And that's a tough, because I will tell you, even with what I learned a lot about around health is imprints. And I always thought it was genetics because my mother had it, my grandmother had it, my great grandmother. And the doctors kept saying, what do you got? What do you got? What do you got? And it's just genetics and you're going to get this and you're going to get that. But when I started to study and understand the energy of the body and I started moving my body differently and talking to it differently and wow, things are just moving like really fast. Guess what? I realized, this isn't genetics. This is imprinting. So it's basically I took on all the stuff my mother had, right? She took all the stuff her mother had and then she took all the stuff, you know, my grandmother had. And so then looking at that, as soon as I started to realize that, I was like, and it all went away. Everything as I started to dissect it, but it wasn't an easy road. So coming out of those paradigms is not an easy road. And that's why people get stuck sometimes when they're transforming. They get scared. They don't know what's on the other side.
Well, one of the things I found interesting in my story, so, you know, one of the things I point out when I tell this is that as a guy, I was at the very top of the ladder. I mean, think about this. I was a Caucasian, college educated, tall, male, military pilot
had
in America.
All.
You know, I mean, I was like,
you had the American dream.
was not open to me. Yeah. And then I find out this little piece of information is like, by the way, there's this feeling inside you and it's called transgender. And if you go down that road, and this is how I describe it. It's like standing on top of a 600-foot cliff, looking at the rocks in the gorge below, and you're standing on gravel with the wind behind you. And you're thinking, okay, if I lean back into my normal life and try to stay here, it's going to take a lot of energy. But if I let go, I'm going to fall down there. And one of the things that I tell people, and I have a whole presentation I call Writing the End of Your Story, because when you're between the rock and the hard spot, or what I say in flying, we go from A to B. If you're given this A to B choice, choose C, write your own story ending.
Very true.
I think that's kind of what we found, Annie and I found in my gender transition is, there were paradigms, strong paradigms in place about how this transition should be accomplished. Here's all the list of things you have to do. And the very first thing on that list was, if you're married, you have to get divorced. And we said, no, we love each other. We are not getting divorced. So it's kind of like, well, I'm not going to follow that paradigm. And I think the same thing happens in your case, where you're in a situation where your health is really challenged. The doctors are, the minor deities are coming into your room and they're saying, here's what we have and here's what we're going to do. And you're going to take these medicines and this is going to do. And you're just feeling like, this isn't it. And eventually you have to get to that break point where you say, you know what? I love you guys. I know you got the best in mind, but I'm going this way.
That's hard because I know in my case, my family, like I had to distance from them all. And, you know, we've reconciled in different ways, but I had to. They didn't understand. They were scared. And so you're right. You can write any story. And I think that if anybody's listening, never take what you have as final. You and I are proof. You and I, Laura, are proof that you can rewrite your story your way. And I get chills when I say that. And one of the things that I love about what you just said is, they give you a list that list doesn't define who you are, who I am. None of those lists do. What defines is what we feel, what we're connected to, what we're integrating, and how we want our life to live. And that's different when people are so used to being spoon-fed, live like this, do like this, do like this. And that's why this huge awakening right now is, I'm so excited for it, because people are going to start to say, yeah, I do get to write my ending. I get to make this my way, not the way you told me to. And again, back to those authoritative figures. And I love what you said there. I was shocked when you said that. Why do you have to get divorced? You love somebody, you have to get divorced? Really? Yeah, like that's crazy.
That on the list. It's like, well, that's just how it is. That,
big X.
Done that. Done it. Like, well, I'm not. I'm going now. Well, and because it is a fearful situation. You know, when you're standing on that cliff and your choice is lean back or fall forward, it's scary. And one of the things that I knew from what research I did early on when I found this term transgender, yeah, is that there was lots and lots of stories about how if this happens, in my case, male to female, when that happens and the man says, hey, this is who I am, everything busts apart. And yeah, so when you're standing on that cliff, you're thinking, okay, there's no other ending other than this one that they've all told me. Which, you know, according to Bernie, not true. You can write your own story. And that's such an important message to hear.
You know, I want to say, and for anybody that has any doubt, I can tell you, I've worked with so many people and even my life, I hear miracles every day of people that have changed their lives. I had a lady the other day, doctor told her, her eye doctor said, get rid of your glasses because your eyesight is repaired. And if you wear your glasses, you're going to damage it. She said, what did I do? How did that happen? I said, you know what? And so I explained to her how the body started to recondition. But so anybody listening, it sits within you. You get to decide what that ending is. You get to decide how your life lives.
Awesome. Well, that's a great place. We're going to take another quick break here on the half hour. When we come back, I want to talk a little bit about how we might steer people towards things that they can do to write the ending of their story, because mm-hmm. you know, part of that's getting to get through that wall. You know, first of all, you're gonna have to charge it. You gotta get motivated to charge this wall. So we will talk about that when we come back. This is Laura Meeks. We are on Transformation Talk Radio. We are here with Tracy Clark, and we will return quickly. See you in a minute.
Do you want the knowledge and wisdom to understand where spirituality, science, and psychology intersect? Then join the Karmic Path Radio Show with Tina and Laura on TransformationTalkRadio.com Thursdays at 4 p.m. Pacific. Follow this charmingly, disarmingly dynamic duo as they explore how psychic ability, spirituality, and karmic law tie together. For more information on Tina, Laura, and their groundbreaking work, visit thekarmicpath.com.
Do you know how to achieve wellness in all areas of your life? Hi, I'm Mary Jane Mack. Signs of wellness are a capacity to love and ability to nurture, a sense of purpose, a good sense of humor and plenty of fun in your life, a concern for others and a respect for the environment, a conscious commitment to personal excellence, a sense of balance and integrated lifestyle, and capacity to cope with whatever life presents. Well, people enjoy their lives and want them to last as long as possible. That's why the wellness mindset usually accompanies other constructive, healthy lifestyle habits. By adopting a wellness mindset and behaviors like eating well, taking the right nutrition for the body, exercising, and saying affirmations are just a few things to structure a healthy system of values and beliefs. I will be your wellness coach to help you achieve a wellness lifestyle. Call us at 888-777-4232. That's 888-777-4232. And visit us at MaryJaneMack.com.
What is a brilliant culture, and how do we create them? Why are they important? Claudette Rowley has created a breakthrough 5-step process to help you align your culture with your business strategy for exceptional results. Looking for a culture that drives organizational excellence? Listen to Cultural Brilliance Radio, the second and fourth Friday of each month at 10 a.m. Pacific and 1 p.m. Eastern on Transformation Talk Radio. To learn more or work with Claudette, visit culturalbrilliance.com.
On the cutting edge of the new mainstream, Christine Upchurch is passionate about bringing together science, psychology, and spirituality in a way that can be applied to our everyday lives for true transformation. The Christine Upchurch Show, stellar conversations to illuminate your journey, engages some of the most outstanding visionaries on the planet in lively dialogue to inspire you to become that bright light you're meant to be. Join Christine every Friday at 11 a.m. Pacific Time on KKNW, AM 1150, and Transformation Talk Radio.
Do you know how powerful your thoughts and beliefs are in determining your experience of your life? Is it really true that simply by changing some of the words you use in your day-to-day language, that you can change your life? I'm Megan Edge. Join me on Playing on the Edge, Radical Change with Ease, with my co-host Dr. Pat on Transformation Talk Radio. I look forward to seeing you there.
To find out more about Megan Edge, visit her website at meganedge.ca.
Hey, this is Laura Meeks. We are back live on Transformation Talk Radio. This is Laura Meeks Show. And with me today, Tracy Clark. Say, Tracy, while I have you at the break, tell the audience how they can get a hold of you, what kind of work you do, who are the clients that you like to work with?
What do we do? Yeah.
What do you do? And how
what do I do? Yeah. TracyLClark.com. TracyLClark.com. So I was blessed. My parents gave me good initials, TLC. So they
I thought that was funny. Now I want to say something here too. The L is important.
It is.
There is a TracyClark.com.
So TracyLClark.com, that's who I am. And you know what? We have a broad section of people. It's people that are really ready, like you were saying, to break out of where they are, understand what their body's telling them, whether it's online events or in person or, you know, we do a lot online, obviously, because we work with people all over the world. And just really teach. What I do is I teach people in a lot of our courses on how to connect to their body, simple things they can do right away, and start to understand how they can get rid of the limitations. Because as you said, it's fearful. And I know what it's like. I know what it's like to get out of a bad relationship, so it's abuse, your money. Like, we cross all different boards, because what I realized is there's never just one section of life. It's like a wheel. Everything goes together. So I work with people that come from all sorts of backgrounds that are like, I'm sick and tired of being disconnected and being tired, and I need to change, and I need some action steps and things they can do like right now. Because let's face it, you go to work and you're on a stressful day, you're going to lay there and meditate for an hour while you try to figure it out. Like, as much as anybody loves to meditate, that's fine.
I do, don't you?
But, well, you and I could take a break and say, okay, I'm going to connect. Let's see what's happening. But if you're working in a high environment, like you're going to work, because I work with a lot of companies and I do a lot of speaking. So when you go in, they don't have that time. They have their lunch. And so I like to give people simple things that they can start to do to connect to their body now and realize what their body's telling them when they're out and about, so they can make those decisions and go, oh, I always say, that person that really drives you nuts, that's never supporting you and making you feel down, your body's going to react. I call them weeds. I say, we got to learn to pull out the weeds.
Pull the weeds.
Get rid of them. Let's weed your garden. Yeah.
Well, and it is, you know, I mean, it's there are lots of interesting things. And one of the things I've learned over the years is that there are, and part of why I think this is a great venue, and especially to have you on, is there are people, and you know this, there are people that are going to connect with me. I have a kind of flying background and all these, you know, interesting gender stories and all that thing. And sometimes people connect with me if they, you know, they see me in person and it's like, oh, I really want to work with you. But not everybody's going to understand my language and the way I talk and connect with me, but they might really bond with you. So to me, one of the values of this kind of cross-pollination and being having guests on the show is just to say that a lot of, I'm sure a lot of what I teach is a lot of what you teach, but it's from your stories and your background. And there may be people, you know, I know my wife Annie has suffered with fibromyalgia for years and has all kinds of little health things popping up, and to hear your story would be different than hearing my story. So I think that's think that's
and I agree point. With you on that. That's what I love about exactly what we do here. And I know because you're going to come on our podcast as well, because it is. We're going the other way. But it's true, because what I love about it is the fact you're exactly right. And for you and I, because we're so in our heart space, what we want for everybody listening, you and I have the same goal. We want people to get better. I chills again. We want people to wake up. And Spirit's like, yes, I always say that's Spirit approved when you get chills, right? Yeah. But we want them to wake up. So we don't care how they wake up. If it's you, me, or, you know, Susie over there, we don't care. We just want them to reconnect, because you and I have discovered what it's like when you really live in your truth, your authenticity, and how beautiful that is. So you and I are like, we're just like, we want more people, however they do that, go do it. Cause it is.
I mean, it's kind of like, come join our club. You know, I mean, just stand over here with us. We're over in the sunlight and it's really nice over here.
You don't get up miserable. you get up going, it's a new day.
Well, and it kind of goes back to, you know, what we were talking about before is that you get the paradigm. You know, I grew up with the, you know, you work hard, get a good education, get a job. Even if you hate your job, at least it's paying the bills, you know, and you can play, you can bowl on the weekend or do it, you know, be in the rock band later. You're not going to do it now. Just let's think about what you're doing. And in so many ways, then you're literally droning on. I mean, this whole last 100 and some years was an industrial era plan, and the industrial era plan was you're cog in the machine and you just do your part and
you're a slave
and people just kind of got, you know, you just kind of shut some of this off and just drone ahead. And it's not until, you know, for me, a couple of very poignant moments of waking up and going, oh my God, where am I, where am I going, and what would I do with that. So to me, it is about waking up. I want to ask you one real quick. I've circled this 3 times on my notes.
Absolutely.
Somewhere on your website, you talk about all the kinds of things that have happened to you in life, but there was one word where you said, I was kidnapped.
I was actually.
Is that something you can chat about?
And talk about intuition as a child. I told you, being an extreme, my body shook and I was sick because I was also an extreme empath, which I didn't know what that meant back then. Obviously, nobody did. And there was a person that was in our area, and I literally was like, Mom, that person scares me. Oh no, you know, your parents are busy. You're just, you know, you're sensitive. You're sick all the time. I said, no, scares me. Long story short, we were in the park, my sister, myself, and this girl. Thank God for this girl. She was an afterthought. So she was 7, but her brothers were 21 and bikers. So she was the afterthought and grew up in this biker family.
Yeah.
She was with us. So yeah, this guy that scared me showed up and had his gun and took us to the basement of a house that was being formed. So it was only the foundation, you know, in the basement. And he literally thought he was going to have his way and started with the biker girl who, you know, I remember it so clear, obviously, as a little sick, frail, you're scared. And eventually she said, I remember her kept saying, I'm going to run. I'm going to get help. And we've been down there for quite a while. And she did actually, she bolted because she had street smarts. And my sister had climbed out of the dugout and she couldn't get me out. I was too little. And she kept screaming, I'm going to come back. I'm going to get help. And because he tried to get her back, right? Because he didn't want her to. So yeah, when he came back, he was pissed. He was mad. He was mad. And yeah, it's interesting because when he was getting very violent and so I'm condensing it. Obviously he was getting very violent. And then he pulled me out by my hair and he put my face in the dirt and put the gun on the back of my head. And I just remember sirens and I blacked out. And I'll tell you, from that minute forward, and they didn't have words like PTSD and stuff, but I actually started seeing a lot of things in my room. And I thought I was crazy, only to learn that it did open a gateway, all that fear and trauma. Yeah. It opened a gateway into what I could see and feel, which I learned, you know, 30 some years later. But I was traumatized. And from that, and this is where people don't realize terrifying experiences, I had all these massive abandonment issues and people thought you know, going through therapy and stuff when you're younger and, you know, way back then, nobody really therapy like we do now and didn't really work for me. So no offense to therapists, but they would say, oh, it was because of the way when you were a little girl, you must have abandonment issues because my dad had problems with my mom. So his idea was move a girlfriend in and let's chuck the kids out and leave them on the street and send them to a shelter. So they would kind of pinpoint that as a bad place of abandonment, right? And no, it actually had a place of after. My parents were so traumatized. Well, my mom and her husband at that time were so traumatized because my parents weren't together at that point. They couldn't talk about it. So they'd say, just stay in your room, be quiet, don't come in here. So I would just cry myself to sleep all night long and pile 100 stuffies on. You and I wouldn't do that to our kids now, but they had no coping skills. Yeah. So the abandonment issue came really after that, right? Because it was like I had no safety. I had no one to hug me and say, it's okay. And you're going to be all right. It was like, let's not talk about it. Did not happen because they didn't pay attention. So yeah, it was pretty traumatic.
First of all, Kat, I'm going to skip this next break. That's our producer.
She's like, yeah, I got to go.
All right. This leads me to another question. Cause, I was a psych major in college.
Mm-hmm.
College wasn't yesterday, but it was.
Yeah, I hear you. Yes. I hear you.
But I mean, that was my interest. I grew up in a divorced family, and I really, like probably many baby boomers, I thought, you know, okay, this was trauma, and there was not a lot of kids that were from divorced families, and
no.
So I thought, well, you know, I'm going to learn psychology, and maybe that'll help. Now, one of the things I find interesting about the work that you and I do. From my perspective, I love the idea that psychologists, psychiatrists go back and try to figure out the why are you this way with the kind of the idea that if we can figure out the why, then we can kind of get you up here. Mm-hmm. But in my work, I'm finding that the why doesn't really matter. It's you know, wherever you are right now is where you are right now. Mm-hmm. And it is sometimes, often I would think, well, you know, if I just knew why I was transgender, in my life, you know, yeah. I mean, again, I have to go back. I mean, I think I'm this successful pilot, macho, Top Gun guy. And these thoughts are in my head that I need to change my gender. And it's just like, that can't be, you know, I'm like freaking crazy. Maybe I could go backwards and figure out, you know, did I get dosed with something as a kid or did mom drink when she was, you know, pregnant or, you know, there must be a why, but in reality, whether we knew the why or not, it doesn't really matter why I became transgender. It's just that I am, and now what are we going to do? And so I think in my work, I find helping people is like, we could spend years thinking about why it happened, but let's just assume we're here and then just move forward. True in your...
Absolutely. I totally agree with you. And so many people, that's a thing. They would stay and it becomes an excuse. So this happened to me, so that's why I do this. This happens to me, so that's why I do this. And you can very quickly move those imprints. I'm like, well, what's that feeling? Like, truthfully, I love that word. Truthfully, what does your body feel about it? Yeah, well, nobody talks like that. But I'll tell you, if people start saying, truthfully, do you mean that? Or truthfully, do I feel that? Watch how much the body shifts very quickly. And people are always like, wow. But you're exactly right. Because you can say, well, this, this, and this. But how about for me, when I look back at that situation, sounds crazy. But it opened my gifts and it actually allowed me to work with other people in different ways so very quickly. So I'm like, in everything, if people would remember the good, the bad, the ugly, it is all for a reason. It is to help us get to a better place. But in society, I think we're psychology to death. And let's talk about it, talk about it, talk about it. I don't know about you, but one day when I was done and I went to energy work to understand, I'm like, I cannot talk about this anymore. I just want to feel better and move on with my life.
Just want to feel better.
And move on with my life. We're done. Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Well, and I think it's important for people if they just stumbled into the show or they even if you've been working in transformation for a long time, we have a natural curiosity for the why. Mm-hmm. But what I'm finding is that it's really important just to say, okay, I'm here and acknowledge that, you know, there is good things and bad things in the world and stuff has happened to every human on earth. And, you know, you have your story, I have my story, but everybody has a story. And like you say, it would be absolutely easy just to say, well, you know, I can't do that. I was traumatized as a kid. I have PTSD. And so, I'm not available to be happy and bring my gifts to the world. It's like,
I hear that a lot, though. People are like, oh, I'm stuck. I'm like, that happened. I met this woman once. It's an example. Her whole life was a mess. And I'm like, it looks like you had a really bad loss. Yeah, my husband died like 20 years ago. So you've let your whole life go to pot for 20 years. And then she kept creating these stories. She was like, well, because of this. I'm like, can I ask you? And this is what I said, truthfully. I said, truthfully, if he was still alive, would you be married? Oh no, we would have got divorced. So you've wasted 20 years. I'm like, oh my God.
So he finally left and now you're still doing this.
But see, the story gave her sympathy and gave her attention, which he really loved. So exactly. It's like how much, and that's where people get caught up, I find a lot. And energetically, it starts to hold in the body. And when that energy holds in the body, guess what happens? You get sick. And all the organs have little emotions in them and they do things. So the body gets sick.
Now, I don't know if this is something that is available, but is there something that you could mention to our audience that tips and tricks, a thing that would be just helpful? You listen to our show and try doing this once in a while.
You know what? I call it my one simple tool.
My one simple tool.
That's what I call it. Now, if anybody understands the heart, it's my favorite one because I have so many good testimonials. So the heart, I call it a heart drive. It's your heart drive because remember, it's the organ that developed when you're being born, right?
Yeah.
The frequencies are all coming out of your heart, not your brain and your mind. Those aren't creating anything. It's your heart. So let's say it's your heart drive. What happens is people get so much in their head, or they get anxious, or they're starting to get depressed because they're overthinking, they're over worrying. They don't have a clear solution. They're not tuning in. So you can say universe, divine, whatever you want. No right, no wrong. I'll tell you how I do it. They tap the heart to wake it up. So if you're feeling that, I say, thank you, God, release, let go. You might say, thank you, universe, thank you, divine, but thank you, God, release, let go. You're going to the power of love. So release, let go. When you actually do that, what you're doing is creating a little bit of a few seconds in the space of the mind and the brain to bring you back into connection and wake up the heart. And what people have told me, I've had kids say, I'm not anxious anymore, because here's what happens. When you waken the heart up, and sometimes you'll see, and I didn't know this till recently, that like monks and stuff, they'll rub their heart. And I asked them, I said, why does that monk rub their heart? It looks like they're activating the heart. And they're like, yes, when they activate the heart, they can say truthfully, literally, they go in and they get correct answers. Because your brain, right, has two hemispheres. So you can get a right and a wrong answer of everything. But when you go to your heart, the heart will actually tell you the truth and it'll awaken your intuition. So people, and I'll tell you a really good story of this quickly, is I had a family, the mom, she does a lot of work in our community and giving back and stuff. And they had gone on a holiday and they went cave diving. You know those tight caves? So her husband.
Scuba diving. I'm not cave diving.
Yeah, I'm not there either. So, but her husband started freaking out. And her daughters, who she didn't even know were using the tool, said, use this tool. And she's like, yeah, try it. We'll get out of the cave. It's okay. He's like, I'm not using that tool. And the daughter said, use it. I use it at school all the time. I don't have anxiety anymore. And she was like, what? Well, the dad used it. She said he calmed right down and swam out, no problem. And it was, he had to do it a couple of times. So when you're feeling anxious, that's all what's happening. You got to get back to the heart drive, that heart connection, which is always going to lead you in truth. It's simple, but it works.
I love that. What a great idea. Thanks for sharing that. I have other people that have, you know, that are challenged with anxiety.
Because really anxiety energetically, and I have that on my YouTube channel. People need to rewatch it. They can just on my website, you can get to the YouTube channel. But what also happens is with anxiety, it's really the body is sensing change and it's sensing things are different, but it can't see it. So because you can't see it, right, you panic and you start to go, and the lungs start to collapse because it can't breathe in life. So the respiratory area can't take that breath of life properly. So it creates anxiousness in the system because it knows something's changing, but it can't see it. So it panics. Yeah, so it works.
Yeah, well, you know, when you're looking at, you know, again, this, we'll go back to the title of the show is busting through a wall.
Yeah.
You know, you're driving along in your little life car there, and you know, all of a sudden there's this big wall, and you're thinking, oh my gosh. And like you say, it could be health, could be cave diving, you know, giving a speech. I mean, Toastmasters, a lot of people get really excited when things, you know, so whatever it is that you're doing, you have at least one cool new tool to try to see if that works. Because I agree. One last thing while we got a couple minutes to chat about this spirituality.
Mm-hmm.
I think you and I talked, you didn't start out spiritually. I grew up Unitarian, if anything. Mom felt she was Unitarian because we went to Unitarian service at Christmas every year. That was our introduction to religion. But when Annie and I got married, I was very, very involved in the Catholic Church. I found the lay people very spiritual, but it was when I moved into Center for Spiritual Living after we left the Catholic Church that I really was opened to many, many more ideas than was given in a religious based thing.
Yeah.
A lot of your work deals with connecting to what I would call source.
Yeah. Energy. Same thing. Yeah. Yes. God, source, universe, divine. A lot of people have a hard time saying God because of the religious upbringing. I clean that out of a lot of people because it has traumatized people. It has created problems. But when you understand that God, source, universe, divine is this beautiful connection of love. But if you don't have that, if you don't have that connection, I work with a lot of people to restore this connection. I have a lot of people come from religious backgrounds that are like, I'm so jaded and don't say that word, but I was that person. So I get it very clearly. Yeah. And if you don't have that, my definition of faith is trust, no believe. There is something much bigger out there than you and I. If you can go there, we're good. But if you don't have a strong connection and a faith, which is trust, no believe, that how is it when you're trying to make a transition, you have to trust in what you are doing, where you are going, believe in what you can't see yet, that it's coming, and find that inner knowing, right? That inside, you know, you can feel it. Like you knew you had to go through the transition. You had to trust.
Literally. And that's a really, really important piece.
Yeah.
The male logic mind says this is not possible in this earth. Whatever you're doing, but I could tell internally, this is exactly what needed to happen. And it's that challenge.
And see, when you went through it, you knew without a shadow of a doubt, you needed to. You had to trust in the process. You had to trust in it. You didn't know the whole process because you'd never been through it. And you had to believe that when you got out on the other side, it'd be amazing. So that's my definition of faith. And you did all that and look what happened. Bingo, you get a life where you're like, oh my God, I'm so free and happy now.
Well, I'm going to key on the last piece of that, because you're absolutely right. Now, you know, the challenge for me was as a logical male pilot guy, there was no knowledge, no history, no science, no nothing that said that what I'm feeling in my heart has to go that way. Yet I did take a leap of faith to say, I am going this way. And the other piece was, and I did believe it would go well.
Absolutely.
One of the things I talk about is choosing an attitude. Mm-hmm. And I had to choose that this was a blessing. I often say that your manifested world starts with words. Then it goes to thoughts, beliefs, actions, and then you manifest. So it really does start way over here at words. So when most men would call that a curse, and I watched men who said that this was a curse and they lived an absolutely cursed life. The ending was cursed. Everything was bad. When we chose that this was going to be a blessing, that it was going to work out, it did work out as expected. We could do a whole other show on that.
You're right, because it is, because words can be curses or blessings. I always say, plant the seed. What's the seed you're planting? Like you just said, with your word. So it's like, it's going to be amazing. And the more you bring that into the body and feel that like you did, exactly, like you said, amazing. And if the listeners can pick that up, just that nugget alone will change somebody's world. Yeah.
Well, and sadly, we're at the end of an incredibly great show. Thanks for being
so
with
fast.
It does go so fast. But it is important. We talked about a lot of important things, and it really does. There are ways to change your life. There are ways to bust through that wall. Thank you for the tool that I think alone is worth the price of admission to this show.
Yes.
and we will get together again. But that a really enjoyable time. For those of you out there in the listening audience, this is Laura Meeks. This has been the Laura Meeks Show. We are here on Transformation Talk Radio on the second and fourth Wednesdays at noon Pacific. So come on back if you want to hear the rest of this story. That's it for us today. This is Laura Meeks signing out. We will see you next time.
You've been listening to The Laura Meeks Show. Dream on, fly high, live adventurously on Transformation Talk Radio. Thank you for tuning in. And we hope you'll join us next month as Laura helps you find your unique gifts so you can bring them to the world. For more information on Laura Meeks or to listen to past shows, visit her website at flyhighliving.com. Check out her hit Dream On 12-week course, where you get the personal attention you need to fly high in your new life.